It's the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time once again to head on over to the World News Center and visit with Bill McCormick. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Ryan. Good morning to you and yours. How are you doing today?
I am feeling sparkling clean because I took a shower. Usually, I just roll out of bed and do the show, but today I decided to do the show and be very hygienic.
Well, good for you. I actually did the same thing, so we should smell good to all the listeners.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know this was a thing, and it has been pointed out to me that it is a thing, and arboretums all over America are posting warnings, so it's a thing.
Okay.
So here we go. Here we go. It started a few years ago at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, where they have the Maxwell Arboretum. It's a five-acre expanse. It contains a lot of trees. That's what arboretums are for.
Okay.
And a lot of those trees are evergreens because they do them that way so wildlife and birds and squirrels and stuff like that can have a safe place to live. It's all very quite wonderful, and, you know, nature at its finest.
Well, of course.
Every year around Christmas, you know, sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas, people break into the arboretum and chop down the Christmas trees so they don't have to pay for one. They just steal the trees from the arboretum.
Doesn't that seem like a whole lot more effort to break in and bring an axe and chop down a tree and tie it to your car than just go to a Christmas tree lot?
Does to me, but, you know, hey, no one asked me.
Or how about this? Don't kill a tree every year and you get a fake one.
Yeah, that's what Kim and I do. We have this real pretty tree. It twinkles. It's green. It sits in the corner. When we're done with it, we put it in a box and put it back in the closet.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's working. So anyway, this has been a problem. And as it turns out, per arboretum, they were losing 25 to 30 trees every winter. And, you know, that it takes time to grow these trees back. So they're constantly replanting. They're constantly doing stuff.
Exactly. That's why there's whole Christmas tree farms. And it's very hard to replenish them unless you keep a good rotation going.
Right. So they came up with a solution. Now, one of the people there, I do not know who this hero is. They do not name him or her. But this human being decided to stop the problem and made very big public announcements. And they take them out in campus newspapers and in arboretum newsletters and in local media covers it every year when they do it. They have a big day of going out and doing it. What they do is, depending on which arboretum we're talking about, they cover the base of the tree in either fox urine or fox urine and skunk extract.
Okay.
With, you know, some water and glycerin and some dye. But basically, it's fox urine or skunk extract. Now, in the wild, when you're cutting down the tree, you probably won't notice that smell because it's cold out and, you know, air's not traveling and what have you. But when you put this thing into room temperature, once it gets up above 55, 60 degrees, and I am going to quote here. I can't see this guy's name. It doesn't really matter. But the quote is, "It smells like 1,000 cats peed in your air vents, and they're never going to stop."
Oh, nice.
People have actually had to open their windows and turn on fans to try and get the smell out. You can't just, like, can't go grab some Osium from the dollar store and spray it around. That's not going to work here.
Well, that's what you deserve.
Yeah,
And you can't keep it. You've got to get rid of the tree. Like, back when I had a cat, and the cat wouldn't stop, you know, licking and nibbling at the Christmas tree, a fake tree. So there was the stuff you're supposed to spray on that would, you know, it'd taste bad to the cat. They wouldn't do it, but it was sticky. It never came off the tree. It smelled bad, and we had to throw that tree away.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff that keep animals off the tree have unintended consequences. But this has had the intended consequence. Since they started it, most arboretums are reporting that they're down to zero trees being culled every year. And the most anyone reported that I could find in the – there's an annual report for this, by the way, in case anyone wonders how I have fun when I'm sitting at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Arboretum Monthly, got to check it out.
I'm a charter subscriber.
Yeah. This is actually from nowiknow.com. It's a site that I've been – that they do a lot of research on weird stuff. It's just, you know, completely off-the-cuff stuff. And I'm a fan, big fan. They've got it down to zero for most of the country, and they have it down to one or two in a couple of other places. And the guys are now, like, at this point, they have flyers up. They have big warning signs up. They have, like I said, they printed in the local papers and stuff. And the articles are great. It's like, "We went out with Professor Johnson last week, and we were spreading fox urine around the trees. Then we went and got a bagel at Lily. Make sure to drop by Lily's. It's got a brand new coffee maker." I'm like, you know, it's just like really local news. It's really great stuff.
Are you trying to sneak in a sponsor?
No, because I don't even know if there is such a place called Lily's.
Oh, okay. Here's a question, though. Spraying stuff on that tree, How does that affect local wildlife that might want to make that tree a home?
It doesn't affect it at all, because foxes pee on trees all over the wildlife, and squirrels and everybody else is like, oh, okay, a fox is here, and then they just go up a little higher.
Okay, good enough. So this is this is like natural, actual fox urine and skunk spray. That's okay.
Yeah, there's nothing artificially manufactured here. They're going out and collecting it. I don't want to even know how that works.
Because I was thinking Dracar Noir would be a good substitute, but they're doing, unless they're a sponsor, and then it's great.
I don't know how you go about collecting gallons upon gallons of fox urine, but
yeah,
somebody has that job. And next time you think your job is horrible, remember there is somebody who has that job.
And it's probably minimum wage.
Yeah. But so anyway, they do that. And
imagine that on your resume, you know, when you finally get sick of that job and quit and like, well, let's look at your experience. And oh, well, that's going to get you far in life.
If you can tolerate that, you can tolerate anything.
Although it's probably just as good as a liberal arts degree.
Probably even better, because it shows you can take a punishment. But anyway, so that's it. So consider this a public service announcement. Folks, do not go to arboretums to cut down Christmas trees. Morton Arboretum does it too, so don't think you might have a local option. Although they don't have as many spruces and evergreens at Morton Arboretum as other places. They do have some. And, of course, they've got their Festival of Lights going on this year, so that's always a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, good. So stop stealing the Christmas trees. There are plenty of Christmas tree lots, and, again, you can go to any of your big box stores or hardware stores and get a very nice artificial tree, which will last for, I think, our last one we had for, like, 15 years.
Yeah, we've had this one for 5, and it shows no signs of giving in yet.
Yeah, so good.
We'll see. So, anyway, speaking of jobs, because we kind of were, let's talk about Adam Driver for a minute.
Okay.
Because he had a part in this movie called Star Wars. You may have heard about it.
I did, I really enjoy Kylo Ren. I thought he brought his natural intensity to that role. I thought he was very good.
All right, well, Kylo, or as we'll call him Adam, he's our buddy now, Adam and I. We go back
previously known as Ben Solo, of course.
Yes. He was recently on the BBC, and he was talking about one of the things, and they said it must have been quite the honor to be at Comic-Con and to be, you know, have those people out there just cheering your name and jumping up and down and wanting your autograph and everything like that. And he's like, oh, no, never going back. Apparently, Disney Plus and so on has a rule that if you're a celebrity involved with one of their projects, you cannot be seen in public until you actually take a stage for that particular project.
Really?
Yes. So that means you can go out, but then you have to wear a mask, and they offered him a Darth Vader mask.
That's ridiculous.
So he was stuck in his room. He wanted to get coffee, and he couldn't actually do that. He had to call an intern to have them go get him the coffee to bring it back up to his room, because they didn't want anyone to know what room he was in. So they couldn't go, you know, they couldn't call downstairs for room service and have him go up to Adam Driver's room, because then they, you know, it would get out that Adam Driver was in this room.
Yeah.
So it was living hell for him. He was locked in a room, and then he was finally escorted down to this thing to do his thing. And he's like, all right, cool. I've done my thing. It's over. I'm going back. You know, I'm going to go have some coffee in the restaurant. No, you're not. You're now on the Disney time and payroll. You have to go back to your rooms, because we don't want to spoil the magic.
Oh, this, you know what? This sounds more like Disney minus.
Yeah. Bottom bomb. Yeah, so Adam Driver is not
a fan. I'm sorry, we got one of these buttons now, and I can't stop using it.
It's okay. But yeah, so Adam Driver, let's just say he's not a fan of this. And who knows what's going on there. We're going to jump away quickly from Disney, and we'll come back to them if we have some time. But today, I don't know about you, but my corner of the internet got blown up. Zachary Snyder, that fun-loving guy who likes to make everybody die.
Okay.
He released an image this morning of him holding a clapboard. For those of you at home, that's that thing that they go action and it snaps together.
Sure, to synchronize sound and picture.
Correct.
And to slate the take.
That's correct, and to give it the proper numbers, and everyone knows what's going on. He posted an image of him holding a clapboard for Justice League 2.
Okay, wow.
And I mean, there's a...
Yeah, but I could do the same thing. I could pose with a clapboard saying any kind of movie.
Yes, but
That doesn't mean anything.
When Warner Brothers opened negotiations for him to do the remake of Justice League, as they call it, Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah.
Which is still selling stupid numbers, insane numbers. But when he was first brought back to open up negotiations for that, when they made the negotiations official and told his attorney they were willing to do this, you know, let's talk about terms, he posted a picture of a JL1 clapboard. And so that was his way of letting the fans know it was coming. So now he's done this. Mm-hmm. And people are breaking the internet over it. Because there's a Facebook page called Restore the Snyderverse that has like almost 1 million fans. I know, I'm one of them. And, you know, they post every little rumor is treated as though, you know, Moses has come down from on high and goes, and here's the 13th through, you know, here's the 11th through 15th commandments. Read them.
Right.
They get fervent. It's fun. I mean, you know.
That would be a wacky bit in some sort of parody religious movie to have Moses come down with a clapboard.
Mel Brooks did it in the History of the World.
Oh, okay then. Told you it was brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, and he didn't come down with a clapboard. He came down with the 15th commandment.
That's right.
But still, it was very funny. So I'm heading back over to Disney and all the fun things going on there in the Disney Marvel universe. No Way Home is coming out. And as you all know from listening to the show, because you're all smart and good-looking people, this will signal the end of the Home series, the Home trilogy, that was done between Sony, Marvel, DC, or Disney, and so on.
You're talking about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, that's correct. And this one looks like, you know, it's going to be blockbusters. They're bringing back all these villains. There's an interesting line in the latest trailer where Dr. Strange says, all these villains, they died fighting Spider-Man. And that's not true. Two of them in other movies lived, you know, Spider-Man actually let the Sandman go so he could take care of his child. So that's not dead. That's like going off to have a taco.
Now, wouldn't that be great if that was the subplot?
Yeah. Yeah.
He just goes on an eating tour.
There you go. It'd be fun. But, you know, so there's stuff that isn't lining up with previous movies, but they're claiming previous movies are being used to make this movie. And if it wasn't confusing before, you watch the second trailer, you'll be completely baffled now. But here's the thing, and just so we're kind of clear on this, this will not be Tom Holland's last appearance as Spider-Man. He's still got a contract with Sony. And, of course, there's the Venom movie. I mean, Tom Holland himself said, he's talking about Venom. He said, you know, when do I get to eat Spider-Man? Because, you know, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And Tom Holland's Peter Parker. I forget who the other guy is. Whatever, but whoever plays Venom, he wants to eat Spider-Man. And, but they're all, you know, they're all having fun with that, and they're talking about different things. And there are... there's preview articles, preview idea scripts. They're not completely fleshed out that have already been presented to try and continue this universe further. And this thing is such a cash cow. Nobody's throwing it out just yet. Eventually, Tom Holland has said, you know, if he's still playing Spider-Man when he's in his 30s, something's wrong because, you know, he's going to be old Spider-Man, and that's not what he wants to be.
Now, speaking of Tom Holland, did you see the recent interview he did for GQ?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he was talking about he's always had sleep issues, and as he got more famous, so did his sleeping problems, and so he has a recurring sleep paralysis nightmare where the paparazzi's in his room snapping photos, and there's nobody there to protect him, and he says he sleepwalks and sometimes undresses, saying 4 out of 10 sleeps, I wake up completely naked.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's something I did not know, but I think the world is a better place for sharing it.
And here's what he does to combat it. He says, and so everyone, you can try this at home. You set an alarm for every hour of the day when you're awake. When the alarm goes off, you read something, and when you do it for a long time, you start to do that in your sleep. So, Bill, set an alarm for every hour of the day you're awake.
Yeah, no.
Tom Holland anyway, does, and he's super famous.
Well, he does, and he's super famous, but he has sleep paralysis, and I don't. So.
Okay.
That would be, you know, every now and then I admit I do sleepwalk, which kind of freaks Kim out, but that's a once in a blue moon thing. It's not like every day.
He also makes $20 million a movie.
Right, which I don't think I'm going to make that in my lifetime. So there you go. But anyway, so that's going to done. They're doing the Spider-Man freshman year comic, which will be on Disney Plus. It's doubtful that Tom Holland will be doing that because the last time they did the Spider-Man and What If, they had a different guy voicing it and nobody noticed. So if they can get away with paying somebody a lot less than Tom Holland money, they're going to do that.
Sure.
But Spider-Man No Way Home, it looks like it's, you know, it's very clear that they're wrapping up this trilogy with just one massive thing. But here's one thing that's got, on the Marvel side, their fans are just as nuts as DC's, so don't look for the same fans there. In the trailer that's out now, trailer number two, there are five villains located in it, loaded into it, that you can see as they go back and forth and back and forth.
Doc Ock?
Problem is, but the problem is Spider-Man's biggest enemy was called the Sinister Six. There's the sixth villain. So who knows? And in one of the versions of Sinister Six in the different alternate Marvel timelines, one of the Spider-Men actually became a villain because he was getting bribed by, or getting, what's the word I'm looking for? Where blackmailed by the Green Goblin. And so, you know, I have no idea where they're going with this. I have a friend who worked on the movie, and normally my friends are, they'll at least throw me a bone, what's going on. And she was very clear that not only did she not want to risk her job telling me anything about this movie.
Oh, Bill, this will have to be a good tease for next week, because unfortunately we're out of time. So BillMcSciFi.com, at BillMcSciFi, and we are so excited. We have an all-new Big Wake Up Call podcast. Just search for all-new Big Wake Up Call with Ryan Gatenby. Bill, thank you as always, and we'll talk next time.
All right, my friend. You take care.